Welcome to the Danny Palmer Show. Does it sound cool if I say it like that? Now I want every head bowed, every eye closed. Every head bowed, every eye closed. We're going to start this podcast off with a word of prayer. Just kidding. This podcast ain't got no goddamn religion. It's like REM, kid. You know? I had religion when I was young. Now, there's none. There's none. Am I a worse person? Arguably. Arguably, yes. Dude. What's up? I know usually on Wednesdays I release an interview, but look, it's the 4th of July. I've been off all week. I hit up a few comics today. You know, it's my fault. I should have scheduled it, but like, I've just realized I'm going to be traveling over the next few weeks here. I might go to DC this week. I'm going to Tampa, Florida next weekend, the weekend of July 14th, I believe that is, or 15th, I guess. And I'm going to be opening for my buddy Giulio Gallerati at Side Splitters and a couple of their locations on that Thursday, Friday. Wait, actually, it's on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It's going to be sick, dude. And Sky Grayson and Zach McGovern are also opening for Giulio. We're really excited about that. And I've just realized this summer that, you know, if I'm going to be opening for my friends in different cities, I don't know if I can do... put out a podcast twice a week, at least not during the summer months. So I think what's going to happen here, oh my God, major
podcast announcement.
No one cares. I think I'm just going to start doing, releasing the podcast once a week. I'm going to try to get interviews every week. If I don't, I'll do a fun Friday pod on Wednesday. I mean, I'm always accumulating ideas that I think are fun and, you know, insightful and hopefully help, like self-help, life help kind of stuff. And also things that I think are interesting and funny and just dude. But I think that's going to be the plan moving forward until the end of summer. So just one episode a week on Wednesdays. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Will my listenership plummet? Who's to say? I don't think it really will. You know, it's like how many fucking times a week do people want to get pinged by Danny Palmer? I would argue it's less than one time a week. Anywho, so we're just going to pretend like this is a fun Friday pod. It's a fun Wednesday pod, dude. It doesn't always have to be on Fridays, you guys. And don't worry. I mean, there's a million comics and cool people that I will continue to have as guests on the pod. I just think in the summer months, it's going to be a little bit tougher to pull that shit off. Especially if I'm... All right, you've already explained that, Danny. You've already fucking explained that. A couple weeks ago, Black Cat, one of the comics on the show, I was heckling him, but not Isabel Hagen, who had gone up before him. And he's like, how come you didn't heckle Isabel? I'm like, didn't need to. Isabel was crushing it. You weren't. You're not. That's not nice, Danny. But it's fun. I didn't say the guy's name. That's nice of me. I'm a nice person. That guy has actually been a guest on this podcast. And I guess I'm a real piece of shit for being mean to him when he was kind enough to do my show. But as you know, that's the kind of person, comic, podcast host that I am. Take it or leave it. I read this great article about why liberals need patriotism, and I think I'm going to talk more about it towards the end, but I just think that Frederick Douglass had some thoughts on what patriotism is to him, and I'm like, yeah, that sounds like my kind of fucking patriotism. By the way, I hope you had a happy 4th of July besides the, what, fucking 12 mass shootings? What the fuck, man? I mean, is there anything more depressing than a mass shooting? You just feel so helpless and... Ugh, I know that's not why people are tuning into this podcast, but dude, can we just take every male in this country that turns 16 should have to go through some like extensive series of life courses? I mean, women, girls are never doing this. I'm sure that some, you know, occasionally women are shooting people, but not on the scale of carnage that men are. And it's like, what the fuck? Maybe I should take it upon myself to join like a Big Brothers program.
Oh, I don't think anybody wants to listen to your bullshit advice.
Listen, honey, when you talk, it makes my throat scratchy.
Why? It's not you, it's me.
I mean, you know, maybe, I don't know. Do you ever wonder about that shit? You know, you're just like, dude, should I fucking stop just sitting around, you know, watching baseball, reading the paper, watching Game of Thrones, watching The French Dispatch, bad movie in my opinion. Should I just sit around doing that shit? Or should I be out there helping and doing good? But then I'm like, well, hey, I do stand up, you know, if you make people laugh. I do the podcast if you inspire them and make them laugh. That's good, too. And then I realized, Danny, you're not making people laugh or inspiring them. You're just a piece of shit.
You're just a piece of shit 46-year-old. You're going to rot in hell no matter what.
I don't even know what I'm saying. I know I'm being too hard on myself. Just just joking. Although I do get feedback at my work that, like, you're too hard on yourself. I'm like, okay, that's fair. But I think if you do stand-up comedy over time, you just become hard on yourself because it's, like, what is it? It benefits you. It's like, it behooves you to put yourself up in a tree and throw sticks at yourself and rocks at yourself when you're on stage, metaphorically speaking. Because everybody's like, why the fuck is this guy got a fucking microphone? He's on a stage where he's got a light on him. What the fuck is this piece of shit have to say? So it's kind of good to, like, bring yourself off that pedestal, so to speak. But then I end up, like, having this slant to my act of just, oh, I suck. I'm just a bald guy. I'm a loser, single. No, I'm not. You know, there's pretty girls that want to kiss me, dude. Okay, just fucking chill, dude. Just fucking chill, dude. Dude, isn't technical shit the worst? I literally spent an hour tonight. Like, today's my last night off of, like, a six-day, like, vacation. And I literally spent the past hour and a half just trying to, like, get my Zoom recorder, my H6, to connect to my laptop. Like, that's not a fun way to spend a night on vacation. And then I'm like, what the fuck am I doing, you know? Like, I don't know why. Like, I guess I've heard that other people's podcast numbers have just gone down lately. And maybe it's an anomaly with me, or maybe it's a broader trend. I don't fucking know. But that happened. It's still decent, but it's not, like, as good as it was. And I'm like, what the fuck? I'm doing this shit for 2 years. Isn't it supposed to be a build over time? And then if it goes down something, it's like, God damn it, dude. God fucking damn it, bro. And I'm like, well, maybe I should just stop doing the podcast. And I'm like, no, I don't want to stop doing the podcast. But then I'm like, maybe I want to just do it, like, twice a week or once a week instead of twice a week. I don't know why I'm explaining this. I guess it is good to explain it. Like, if people that do listen to this podcast, apparently they do in Germany and fucking Austin, Houston, Atlanta, Georgia, Tampa, St. Pete, New York, Denver. Y'all are my bros, dude. And sisters and sisses, bros and sisses. So I do appreciate you guys listening. But, you know, I think as long as you communicate with your listeners why you're doing what you're doing, you can go through it. I mean, you can, like, make it through. Like, dude, honestly, like, a couple of years. It's crazy. That was 2 years ago when me and Zach went on the outs and then we stopped podcasting together. And then I became a better person in addition to a better podcaster. During that time, I was kind of terrified. I'm like, oh, man. Now it's not Space What the Fuck, dude. Now it's just the Danny Palmer Show. And I'm like, nobody's going to listen to this shit. But then I had better ratings over time than I ever did when me and Zach were doing it together, which I like to bring up to Zach quite frequently. And he doesn't care because he's out at bars. I've been walking around New York. I obviously live in New York, so I walk around a lot. But they have these, like, signs, these, like, street signs, and it's, like, ads. And partially it bothers me. It's like, do we need this fucking electronic fucking giant flashlight neon strobe-y kind of thing, like, on the street? Like, can't we just have a normal, you know, non-fucking Times Square moment downtown? But then these things do put up a lot of, like, cool information. And they have a lot of quotes about New York, and I wrote down a couple. One of them said, "Nothing lasts in New York. The life that is lived there, however, is as intense as it gets." That's definitely true. I'm just looking at my fucking window unit air conditioner in the apartment where they jacked my rent $1,000, hoping this thing doesn't die, hoping I can find a new apartment by the end of July. Like, yeah, it's an intense place to live. I guess those are negative things, but it's intense in a positive way too. It's kind of great. There's the Pfizer is headquartered in New York and Manhattan, and the other night I was riding down, I guess it was like Fifth Avenue or something, and they had this like ad on the side of their building. It said, "We believe science will cure every disease." And I was just thinking to myself, would that be good? I mean, obviously, I don't want anybody to be riddled or saddled with an illness, but if we get rid of all of the diseases, aren't we just going to have like twice, three times, 10 times the number of humans on the planet? And then we'll just like sap its resources at an even faster rate until all the humans just kill all of each other? Don't we want some diseases to kind of keep things tamped down a little bit? That's my scientific assessment, my cruel scientific assessment. Yeah, let's just keep things tamped down. Okay, Danny. All right. Oh, by the way, that quote about New York being intense, that was from Edmund White. I don't know who that is. He's just a person that wrote something down. You know what I mean? I put a quote from Frederick Douglass, or I referenced a Frederick Douglass quote on a Instagram and Facebook post that I made. And then my brother-in-law, Sean, was like, oh, yeah, you're like the next Frederick Douglass. I'm like, hey, man, I'm allowed to quote people, okay? You fucking prick. Leave me alone, dude. Speaking of that, I got my Instagram account back, finally, thanks to my friend slash former boss, Deborah DeLuhi, at Facebook. I guess, is that fun to talk about on the podcast? I think it is. It was weird. I mean, you know, if you're a comic, your Instagram handle is pretty much your primary means of promotion, I would think, unless you're like some big name. And then I just had that taken away from me by what I assumed to be Nigerian hackers like 6 weeks ago or 4 weeks. And it's like, dude, now I just have nothing. I'm like, what if some hot chick is messaging me like, Danny, I know we only met that one time and I expressed little to no interest, but now I want us to be together forever, and I'm coming over. What if I get a message like that, and I can't get it? Just go straight to the fucking hackers. It's not fair, dude. It's not fair, dude. I was reading this article about the writers of, oh, God damn it. What is the name of that show? Deadwood. The name of the show is Deadwood. I was going to edit that out, me flailing, but then I thought maybe it's kind of fun. It's kind of fun to listen to me flail.
I'm comedian David Race in Los Angeles. I host a celebrity-filled paranormal talk show like no other. Monstrosity has great guests answering weird questions. You won't believe the combo of celebrities and paranormal experts who've been on this show. I guarantee you'll like Monstrosity, or you get your time back. Go to monstrositypodcast.com right now and take a look.
They were talking. They were interviewing one of the creators of it, and they quoted this character in Deadwood. And listen, this has some pretty harsh, aggressive language. But remember, I am quoting a fictional character on a show that was on HBO that was broadcast globally. Okay, it's already made it by the HBO censors. If I repeat a quote, doesn't mean I'm a piece of shit. I'm a piece of shit for different reasons. Okay. Anyways, this is from the article about Deadwood. In an early episode, a prospector named Ellsworth, having breakfasted on a few shots of whiskey, declaims to no one in particular, and this is his quote, "I may have fucked up my life flatter and hammered shit, but I stand here before you today beholden to no human cocksucker and working a paying fucking gold claim, and not the U.S. government saying I'm trespassing, or the savage fucking red man himself, or any of these other limber dick cocksuckers passing themselves off as prospectors, had better try and stop me." Okay, obviously that's terrible language, which I don't support, but I'm just quoting from the show. And, yeah, you know, I mean, that's kind of one of the challenges too, right? Like, if you say something, that's obviously a terrible thing to say. But if you're talking in the way, if you're writing fiction and you're speaking in the way that people spoke in the past, like, what do you do? Does not talk like they actually talked, or do you talk like they talked to kind of put a lens up against, like, wow, look how horrific these people were back then? I don't know. Anyways, I just thought that was besides that terrible quote, it's just a great piece of writing, you know? Just like, I know it's a lot of like swearing, but I don't know. I'm impressed with that level of writing. I may have fucked up my life flatter and hammered shit. Maybe I should make that the episode title for this one. You know what I'm saying? I've been listening to some, like, I try to listen to like a wider range of podcasts. I don't know if you guys listen to a lot of podcasts, but there was one that I heard recently and I didn't really like it, honestly. I think it was like something about becoming a greater self or something. And they're interviewing this woman, but I really liked an idea that she said about sometimes you need to foreclose on your former self. And the podcast host is like, what do you mean foreclose? Like, she's saying, like, you know, if the bank forecloses on your house, they take the house away from you. Sometimes you need to take away your former self from yourself and say, hey, I was that, and now I'm no longer that. I'm foreclosing on that, and now I'm a new and different person. And I like that idea. It's like, it made me think. I'm like, are there things in my life that I want to foreclose upon? Probably living in this too expensive apartment, not having a girlfriend. Maybe a couple of those things. I don't know. Maybe not. Every time I think, like, oh, my life isn't as good as I want it to be, then I'm like, are you sure, Danny? Are you sure? If you'd stayed in Atlanta and got married and raised kids, don't you think you'd be kind of miserable? Even more miserable than you are now, Danny? Probably. It's very fucking likely. I don't know if you guys have ever seen the Broadway show Chicago. It has been performed 10,000 times. Dude, can you imagine just one performance of a Broadway show? If you were in charge of putting that on, like directing or producing it, how insane that would be, the level of effort and coordination amongst multiple parties and the props and the costumes and the lines and the actors and the lights and the tickets. Dude, oh my God. It does kind of boggle my mind every day when you just walk around a city, you're just like, who the fuck built all this shit? Why are people obeying the traffic lights mostly? How did all of this come to be? How am I talking into a microphone and then people in Germany hear it 3 hours later? What? You know, I think it's important to maintain that, you know, boy-like, girl-like sense of wonder about the world. I try to do that. You know, you try to do that, dude? I think it's sick to be like, oh my God, it's amazing. Oh yeah, I read this fucking article a couple weeks ago about how, like, this guy was like, oh, I hate daffodil. He hates how people have like gradations or level of quality that they assign to daffodils. Like, oh, the best daffodils are at this one market and the worst daffodils are at this other market. It's like the daffodil is an insane feat of nature and beauty in and of itself, no matter what kind or species or varieties or genus, whatever the fuck you call it, no matter where on the planet. The fact that we are alive to see daffodils is a miracle in and of itself. The fact that we're here, that the one sperm hit the one egg for you, the fact that you're cognizant and nobody, you know, you didn't die as a kid or have something terrible happen to you where you can't think, and now you have the chance to observe this spectacle of nature that we really have no idea how it started. Like, fuck these levels of daffodils, dude. Like, the chance, the opportunity that we have, the reality that we can look at the daffodils is fucking crazy. Okay? Wow, Danny, you're so fucking wise, or so
you think, you piece of shit. You don't know shit about shit.
What did that guy say? Flatter and jackered shit. I may have fucked up my life, flatter and hammered shit. I was reading this article this weekend about, like, you know, returning to the office, the white collar workers, such as myself. Like, do you need to go back in? Do you not? And some companies are like, no, you really need to. Most are just kind of like relenting, I think, to the inevitable tide that if you don't let your people work from home, they'll just go work somewhere else that does. But some industries, some companies, they feel like it's necessary, and it very well may be. So they interviewed this guy who's the head of an AI company, Mr. Siebel. Did I get his first name? I did not. It says, Mr. Siebel said he had the only full parking lot in Silicon Valley and sees that as a competitive advantage. We don't invent rockets that land themselves by people working on Zoom calls once a week, the chief executive added. We have to get together in a room and get on whiteboards and fail and fail and fail until you succeed. It made me think of that that movie, Hidden Pockets. What's the one where the black ladies join NASA and they get the math equations correct so they can land on the moon? Hidden Figures. Hidden fucking Figures. I did look that up. Yeah, like if you're doing that level of work, like landing crafts and shit like that, dude, you probably do have to like hang out. it's interesting, like what level of quality work can you do, and what kind of work can you do where not everybody is in the same room and you just like talk over a video conference versus you have to be in the fucking room together. I think I kind of agree with that CEO. Like if you're landing rockets by themselves, I could see that could be tough over Zoom. But also, that doesn't sound like a fun room to be in. Like, all day, you're just in this room, like, failing, 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 failing. And then you're like, can I work from home tomorrow? And he's like, fuck no, you can't. Design rockets, you piece of shit. You're like, all right, Mr. CEO, you asshole. I'm not very nice. You're right. I went to Long Beach by myself last Thursday. And I'm always like, when I do that, I'm like, oh, my God, going to the beach by myself. Am I a loser? And then I get there, and I'm like, no, not really. I'm not really a loser to do that. It's kind of fun. Like, I went to this bar, and I, like, talked to the bartender, and there was a couple in there. And they were breaking up. There weren't a lot of people in there. It was like a Thursday afternoon, but it was a great beach day. And I guess a couple was breaking up and they were like, kept ordering all these drinks. And then it was just this kind of weird vibe. And it was just me and the two bartenders talking about that weird thing. And it made me like reaffirm my decision to be single when because couples just breaking up, pounding booze in an empty bar. Like, pass on that, dude. But you know, if you go with other people, it's obviously great. But then you don't get little moments like that, little individual experiences. And then I went down, dude, and then I went down to the water. This is my last beach story. And I was like, oh, I'm just going to get in the water and pee. And all of a sudden I heard the lifeguards like blowing their whistles. And I'm like, oh, some fucking idiot. It's probably doing something really stupid. And then I looked up and I realized that they were blowing their whistle at me because I was trying to enter the ocean in a part where you can't because there was like a riptide or something. Danny, you fucking idiot, dude. You're 46 years old and this like, fucking 19-year-old lifeguard is saving you from yourself. Maybe it's time to start looking within, pal. Fix your fucking... All right, that's not nice. That's not nice. Oh, and then I was reading this article about sharks, and they said that sharks have literally no interest in eating people. They're just chasing bait fish. This woman who's, I guess, is like a... I don't know. What do you call those? Biologist? Marine biologist? She said that no shark has ever chased a human in the history of sharks. Like, that's not something that they do. Like, many of the shark bites or attacks, quote-unquote, are just inadvertent collisions where it's just like a gash from a dorsal fin or something, but they didn't even mean to do it. And I guess sometimes they do try to take a bite to test if you're food. So I guess that is an attack. Well, I don't understand that. It's confusing to me. I don't know. Just don't get in the water. It's too dangerous, you guys. I just want you to be careful. One thing I've noticed, I'm on season 6 of Game of Thrones, and one thing I've noticed is that a lot of times there will be two characters on horseback going from one destination to another under the premise or assumption that when they get to this destination, there will be a set of circumstances that they already know that will make their lives better. You know, like I'm going to sell this young girl for a ransom or for a bounty to her family, and then I'm going to be rich and she'll be reunited with her family. And you get there and those people are all dead. And I just thought that was like kind of a great metaphor for life. You know, like you think you're on a road to a path somewhere. On a road to a path? You're on a path somewhere. You're like, when I get here, it will be like this, but then it won't get like that. It's like that John Lennon quote, like life is what's happening. Sorry, God damn it. Life is what happens while you're making other plans. Like Game of Thrones really exhibits that in a way that's not like parental or in your face or over the top. It's just that's what the story is, you know? And then you're like, oh, there's lessons to take from this that aren't blatantly or explicitly stated. Another reason I really like Game of Thrones. Didn't think I would like this fantasy show. No, I do. Very philosophical, very deep, a lot of metaphors, a lot of similes, a lot of allegories you can apply to your own life by watching these fucking maniacs sword fight each other and chop each other's heads off. There's still stuff you can learn, even though that's gross and not nice. Okay, and back, I'm revisiting the story about the AI chief executive that said he wants people in the room to, you know, build rockets and land themselves. And so recently, this article continued, a junior employee attended that CEO's virtual office hours and said he didn't understand why he should be required to commute when working from home allowed him to balance productivity with his social life and jiu-jitsu training. And the CEO said, fair point, and you should think about what your priority is. If you want to be an MMA fighter, go do that. And I was like, oh, shit. I mean, you know, I guess there's two ways to look at that. You could look at that and say, yeah, man, good point. Like, if that's what you really want to be, then go be that. But the other way you could look at it is, come on, dude. He doesn't have to become an MMA fighter to need balance in his schedule, you know? But you can tell that's kind of the mindset of that guy. And that's probably why many people are quitting his company. And then those rockets are not going to land themselves. They're just going to explode or crash into the sea. Dude. Anyways, lastly, to wrap this up, you know, 4th of July, patriotism, it's a big blurry mess and mix this year, you know, all these bad things are happening. These mass shootings is so dispiriting, and you know, blah blah, abortion, blah blah, all the shit. And it's just like, well, should I be patriotic? And apparently, Quinnipiac, I think it's a school in Connecticut, they asked Americans whether they would fight or flee if the country were invaded. It's kind of interesting. Like, if you had to fight in America, 68% of Republicans said they would stay and fight, compared with 40% of Democrats. And then they're talking about how Democrats are less likely to be patriotic. Okay, so let me just read a few paragraphs from this essay by Jedediah. Interesting, not Jebediah, Jedediah Britton Purdy, who is a professor of constitutional law at Duke. You know, dude, constitutional law professors at Duke definitely know how to party. They're getting like yatch and blow and shit. It's crazy, dude. The author of the forthcoming book, Two Cheers for Politics, Why Democracy is Scary, Flawed, and Our Best Hope. Oh, boy. No, I agree. I kind of agree. I don't know. I'm not trying to talk about politics. It is 4th of July. Anyways, he talks about how progressives are less likely to be patriotic. But progressives need patriotism more than ever in a time of understandable anger and despair. We want to make the world better by our lights. And to do that, we need a stronger democracy. Patriotism in the right spirit fosters the civic trust and solidarity that democracy needs. Patriotism shouldn't be an excuse for glossing over failures and crimes. Just the opposite. It adds responsibilities, even sorrows, to our lives, but it also fosters affections and, yes, pride. Affection, not affections, although I guess it's both. The patriotism we need is a patriotism of July 5th, which used to be a rallying day for abolitionists, particularly, Jesus, that's two tough words in a row, abolitionists, particularly in New York State. Before the Civil War, July 5th was a rejoinder to the hypocrisy of Independence Day, which trumpeted liberty in a country full of race slavery. It's interesting, before the Civil War, they had that day. It was also, for many abolitionists, a day to continue the founding work of emancipation, to build on and extend a flawed but radical inheritance. A Of course, some radicals, such as William Lloyd Garrison, embraced a fundamentally bleak vision of the country. Sounds like all the liberals today, you know? Garrison denounced the Constitution as a covenant with death and an agreement with hell, and pronounced himself ashamed of my country. But others, such as Frederick Douglass, who was more intimate with the horrors of American life, concluded that American politics was not just a grim fate, but also a crucible of transformation. Douglass, in the famous July 5th speech, often called What to the Slave is the 4th of July, denounced national crimes in blistering terms, but also praised the Declaration of Independence as the pivot point of Americans' quote, yet undeveloped destiny, end quote. Douglass called liberty and equality saving principles that the country could still make real. Look, I totally agree with that, man. You know, it's like, what are we going to do? Just disband the country, balkanize it, break up into two different groups and just hate each other until the day we're dead and be filled with vitriol every day, all day? It's like, no, like, I don't want to live like that. Like, I like to be positive. I like to be optimistic and focus on good things. And, you know, if you have those higher ideals as your guiding light, I think that's a better lens through which we can frame our lives. Look, I know I'm a dumb white guy. I get it. But I still think that those values are broadly applicable. Also, don't hate me. I'm just trying to be nice, you guys. Do you guys like me? Do you guys really like me? Anyway, I have my Instagram account back, Danny Palmer NYC. Thank you for listening to my podcast. I sincerely appreciate it. I think the once a week thing could be better for me, just for my personal life. But honestly, dude, this podcast means a whole lot to me. I've been doing it for almost 3 years now. I really appreciate every fucking person that listens. And it's cool to see people listening around the world, around the country. I appreciate you. Hit me up on Instagram. Come to my me and Ryan DeCollis' Black Cat Friday show every Friday, 9 o'clock. Hit me up on Instagram. No one ever does. Maybe now they will. Danny Palmer, NYC. All right, peace out, you Jones. I'm glad it's July. July's a sick month, dude. It's fucking sick, dude. Come.